Let me move quickly into the passage that I want to preach to you today. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 15 and verses 22 through 27. And I'll try to be fast, but I do what, honestly, you need to hear what I'm going to preach this morning. And if I take a couple minutes after 11:30, please don't get up till at least I'm done preaching. I won't be long after that, but I do think you need what I'm going to be preaching this morning. And we ought not come to get out, we ought to come to get in. Amen. If anything we ought to do, we start the new year, we ought not want to be out, we want to be in. Somebody say amen. And we need God's word. And I got something for you this morning. Let's look at verse number 22. I'll read it down through the end of the chapter. Then I'm going to give you a thought and let you go home. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, that's good enough, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. You know, they must have been Baptists. What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now, let me quote a verse that I was going to turn to in the Bible too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 6, it actually describes this passage that I just read to you. It talked about Moses and them going across the Red Sea, and it describes this passage and these places they came to. And here's what it said that stuck out to me. These all were for an example. So what I'm trying to tell you, everything that happened to the children of Israel is an example for you and I. Because life has not changed much. Because we still face the same things. Amen. But I am glad that we're not facing them alone. I am glad. The story of the children of Israel ought to just make you shout. How that God took two people from the land of Ur and told Abraham to go to a place that he'd never been before. And he didn't even name the place. How about you wanting to do that? And he went and followed God. And you know that Abraham had his ups and downs, but the Bible said he was a friend of God. Amen. And he had a son, his name was Isaac. And Isaac had two boys, twins. And both of them were rattlesnakes. But he blessed Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And one of the predominant sons was Joseph. And you know the story of Joseph. His brothers were jealous. They hated him. Come on now. Sold him into slavery. He went down into the pit. After he got delivered from the pit, he went to Potiphar's house. She tried to seduce him. And he lost his coat, but he didn't lose his character. Somebody help me. And then he got thrown in prison. And while he was in prison, he met two guys, a butler and a baker. And neither one of them had half sense. And they got out and forgot him for a while. And then there was a famine in the land. And there was a dream. And he got out of that place and got delivered to explain the dream. He went from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison, and he ended up in the palace. And the palace was in Egypt. I'm going somewhere. And the children of Israel ended up in Egypt and were blessed. But here's what happens. Just like in elections in America, they got a new Pharaoh who did not know God and who persecuted the children of Israel, and they were in slavery for 400 years. But God raised up a man. And I want you to know, he still raises up men. God still uses men for his glory. He raised up Moses and told Moses, and Moses said, I don't even know how to go. I don't know what to say. Whose name am I going in? He said, just tell him I am. And he went down there and he faced face to face with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had a hard heart. And then God hardened him more. Sent plagues, 10 plagues into the place. The last plague being the plague of the firstborn. And you know the story. How that if you had blood on the lintels of the door, you're going to be okay that night. Your firstborn wouldn't die. And then Pharaoh let him go. But then he changed his mind. Somebody help me preach. I'm taking you to the setting, okay? He changed his mind. He said, I ain't going to let him go. So he went after them. And that's what we find in this story. He went after them. And he was going to destroy them. And here's where they were, Lois. Here's where they were. They were at the Red Sea. The sea was there. Mountains were there. Mountains were there. And Pharaoh was back there. And the children of Israel had their back against the wall. So I want to start, and here's what I'm going to preach this morning. Hopefully to help you in your journey on this first day of the year, on what you can expect this year in your life and from your God. So we want to talk first of all about this Red Sea. And I want to call this a big problem. Trust me. You may think you can get away from trouble, but you can't. And you have to get into this new year and figure out. Somebody help me preach. You done facing a big problem. They probably, people in this room right now, if they raised their hand, could tell me, preacher, I'm in a big problem right now. And let me ask you this question. Did Moses have the answer? He couldn't go to Oprah. He couldn't go to Dr. Phil. He didn't have no answer. Everything was against him. So what did he need? He needed a miracle. By the way, when you get big problems that you can't fix, that you can't get out of, and you're walled in by the circumstances, and it looks like you're going down, thank God for a God who's still on the throne that can give you a big miracle. Verse number 8, if you look at it in chapter 15, just follow me in the Bible. I see a demonstration of God's power. And with a blast of his nostrils, the water were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Here's what happened. God sniffed, and the water came up, and the ground dried. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, I believe the Bible's true. And if God can do that miracle and take them across on dry ground, even though you may be facing a big problem, even though you may be experiencing something larger than you are and bigger than you are, don't forget something. You've got a big God. You've got a God that is able to raise up your Red Sea and help you go across on dry ground. Somebody help me, please. Then, by the way, look at verse 9 and 19. He also destroyed the destruction of the pursuers. By the way, there may be somebody after you. Somebody might be trying to destroy you. But aren't you glad for a God that can destroy them? Look at verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them, and I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Verse 19, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. Somebody say amen. I want you to know, whatever's pursuing you that's evil, I got a God that can derail them. I got a God that can defeat them. Hey, I am tired of hearing this. I can't get over this. I can't go forward. I just can't face what I'm facing. What's wrong with you? You're being childish. You're being immature. If God was able to deliver them, he's able to deliver you. If God was able to take care of them, he's able to take care of you. Quit walking around in defeat today when you got a God that is a Red Sea divider. You got a God that took him across on dry ground. You need to follow him this morning. We let so many circumstances turn us upside down when we got a God that's sitting there. Won't you just trust me? Amen. Amen. So trust me. First experience you're going to find in life and in your journey, you're going to have big problems. But in verse 19, he delivered the people across on dry ground. Think about that a moment. He took that sea, deep sea, raised it up, and the water had been sitting there forever and turned the ground to dust. You said, I don't think God will deliver me. I don't think I can make it through this situation. Hold a minute. It requires a miracle, but God's a miracle-working God. Secondly, let me move quickly. Stay with me. We're talking about experiences that we'll face in 2023 in our journey. But look at verse 22. I want to show you a second thing. Quickly. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. That's a big problem. And they went out in the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness. I want everyone to write down in your notes that word wilderness there means walled up. Means walled up. And I'll bring that thought to you in a moment. And found no water. Not only will you have big problems this year, but I want to give you this point because I think it might help you more than anything I'll preach today. You'll have barren problems this year. Now, And the result of your barrenness, let me ask you, how many's ever went through something and you couldn't find God? Right? Come on. You said, where's God in this? And you didn't have no idea what that was for. Come on now. Had no clue. What's this doing here? I tell you, when we have barrenness, the result will be in your maturing. Because, see, there'll be dryness. There'll be some Sundays, preachers, you'll get behind this pulpit, and it'll seem dry as it can be. Come on now. I mean, you just, hey, the singing's dry. The praying's dry. The praising's dry. You say, well, what's that for? Why? Why do I face times like this? Because, see, we need those times. Because once we've had them big miracles, we get puffed up. And God uses that barrenness to bring us into maturity and to help us grow up. I tell you what we need some Christians to do is quit being babies and grow up. Amen. You're not the only one with a problem. You're not the only one facing something. You've been saved long enough to know God's able to take you through. Why don't you step forward? Amen. Tell you what, barrenness will bring not only dryness, it'll bring discouragement. Won't it? Now, some of you have already done this. I have. You've got goals for this year. Right? What happens to you when your goals don't go right? I had a goal to stay up in that office until we got this building built. But that wasn't exactly what God wanted. I don't understand it. But I do know this. He's using it for a purpose. And once I got over the first day and I got to a place of prayer, I found out he's just using that to make me a better person. Hey, there's a lot of people quit for something smaller than that. But I want you to know there ain't nowhere to quit. There's nowhere to stop. There's nowhere to falter. We got a God that brings us to places sometime in our journey where it's dry, where it's barren, where our goals is not met, and being quite honest with you, it's gloomy. And by the way, I said that word wilderness means walled up. I don't understand this, but there's been times in my ministry where I hit a wall here, here, and here, and I felt like I was boxed in. What do you do when you get like that? I'll tell you what you do. You just keep serving God right in the middle of your box. Now listen to this. I really want you to give a point here. Listen carefully. I'll be closing in a moment, but I want you to get this. A lot of you might think, shame on God for not having any water in Shur. Well, you haven't read your Bible. It didn't say there was no water. It said they found no water. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that Hagar had a well in Shur. And there was actually water. But God did not allow them to find water because he was going to test them to see how true they were, to see how faithful they were. Hey, he was going to allow them to have barren times, dry times, to see what they were made of. Amen. And to mature them and bring them and make them more like Christ. Man, I'm helping myself this morning. Now, I want you to notice this next one. And this is one a lot of us don't want to admit. But I fight it. If you don't, God bless you. You're a better Christian than I am. But look at the next one. They're still traveling. They went 3 days, found no water. Then verse 23, look at this. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. I want you to know something. This is not pleasant. You're going to have some times when the devil's going to try to get you to be bitter. And here's what, could you imagine them find no water to Jeff for 3 days? And they saw water from afar. Come on, look at me. They saw water way over there and they said, water? Well, I know what I would do. I'd go do me a belly smacker right dead in the water and start drinking all of it I can. And I can imagine some of them suckers doing that. And as soon as they drank that water, it was bitter. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm going to caution you. Some of you may be packing some bitters right now that you've been carrying for a long time, last year and year before. For God's sake, don't bring it into 2023. For God's sake. I know people, and they're good Christians, who are still eat up with bitterness. I've had some stuff cause me bitterness, angered me, frustrated me. But I want to tell you, see, the barren problems result in maturing, but the bitter problems, and let me tell you what happened to them. I can tell you when you start getting bitter. Verse 24, they started murmuring. That means they were critical. I'm sick and tired of hearing people critical all the time when God's been so good. Hey, don't be starting to be critical about this church. This church is winning more people. What you saw this morning on this discipleship, them people getting saved and following up, that ought to make everybody in this room shout. Amen. But they got critical. They weren't ready to have Moses Appreciation Day. Then they got callous. Got hard. I tell you, there's not a harder person to deal with than a bitter person. They're hard. They're cold. They're critical. They're callous. And you better watch and not let a root of bitterness spring up in you. And you better get rid of it before it gets anywhere. Because trust me, listen to this preacher, it will destroy you. Amen. You said, what did I do with my bitterness? The bitterness of sin. By the way, sin will make you bitter. Yeah. The bitterness of situations. Said, my health's not good. Well, you're not the only one. I've got financial problems. You're not the only one. Don't get mad over it. Just trust God. You said, what's the cure for bitterness? I'll tell you what the cure was. Boy, I'm about to shout. Are y'all with me? They cut down the tree. See, the remedy was mercy. I'm glad for a merciful God that saw our bitter Christ rejecting lives and seeing us falter in situations and problems. When we're children of God, we let it break us. When God wanted it to make us, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go back to Calvary. Cut the tree down. The tree's Calvary. The tree's the blood. And we're overcomers by the blood. And it's still the blood. And the blood gets victory. Somebody help me preach. Oh, it'd be bad if I ended this sermon right here. Because all I've talked about, big problems, right? Barren problems, right? Bitter problems. But I want to end the story. Though all those things are problems, I'm going to be very honest. They're not the things that occupy my life. And though they hurt at the time, I have found the next thing is more prevalent in my life than any of those three things. Now go to the last point and I'm done. Y'all all right? Amen. Look at verse 27. Woo! Man, we have big problems. We have barren problems. Man, we have bitter problems, but look what happened. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I want you to know something, and I could say this morning. Some of us ought to raise our hand and shout. Though life has dealt some lemons to me and to you, I've been blessed a whole bunch more than I've been burdened. I am a blessed man this morning because, see, my life, I've got an Elim I can go to. And you say, what was there? And I tell you what we need at that place is the royal sovereignty of God who makes and gives the blessings, because every good thing comes from God. Amen. I want you to notice something and I'll close. They were 12 wells, folks. Now you say that's an accident. You're out of your mind. They ain't no accidents with God. I got to come down here because I am going, I might run. 12 wells. Why 12? Oh, God made them.
Right. Yes, sir.
Why 12? Because God in his providence knew you was going to travel by that way. And they was 12 wells because there was 12 tribes. Amen. And there was a well for every tribe. In other words, God's no respecter of persons. He'll give you a well and give you a well and every one of you a well. Somebody say amen. And listen to this. If you're a preacher, a deacon, a leader, I'm going to give you, I pick on you most of the year, so I'm going to give you a chance to shout. I had 70 palm trees. 70. You said, well, what's 70? What's 70? Remember when Moses was having a hard time thinking he was all by himself? And God said, you've got 70 guys down there, 70 counselors, 70 of your elders, 70 men of God. And I want you to know they'll help you through this. And I don't know why, but God's got special blessings for the man of God, for the leaders of God, and he got a palm tree for you. You said, what's palm tree for? I'll tell you what, let me give you a couple things and I'm done. I'm about ready to shout myself silly right now. By the way, it'll give you some shade. When the heat's on, it gives you some shade. And it'll keep the storm off of you. And you know anything about a palm tree? I'll preach on this one of these days. Them things have long tentacles, and they go all the way down around a rock. And that rock is Christ. And when the storms come, them palm trees bend to the ground. Then they get up and stand to attention. I am glad that God's got a shelter. God's got a place. If you're here lost, he's got a refuge in the time of storm. If you're here in trouble, here going through something, God has got something for you. Amen. 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 Bow your head with me. Thank you for being so patient with me. I did want to do this. I'd like for our live stream people, everyone, share it. People need to hear this because you're going to face this. I want to ask, and I want you to be real honest this morning. How many in this room is facing one of those problems that I just preached on? And you're going through it. Maybe it's a big problem. Maybe you feel like, man, it's so dry, you just ain't getting nothing done. Maybe you feel like, people hurt you. and you're bitter. And you don't want to admit you're bitter, but you're bitter. Won't you let God make you better? Won't you let him take your sourness and make it sweet? I wonder in this room, somebody in this room that has a problem, and you say, Preacher Smith, I am weighed down this morning on this first day of the year, and I need God's help. Would you just raise your hand? All the house. Raise them all the house. Be honest. Come on, come on. I want to ask you, how many people are saved in this room? Raise your hand. You're saved. Thank you. How many's not saved, but you need to be, and you need to find, get rid of this bitter sin and get Christ? How many need saved? Raise your hand. Say, Preacher, I need to be saved. Pray for me. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. You may put it down. Would you do this for me, sir? Would you sit by your seat here in a moment and come up here and let us show you in the Bible how to be saved? Start this year with Christ. Don't start this year lost. You're here. You raised your hand. That means God's dealing with you. Just come up here and let him take a Bible and show you how to be saved. And all you others that's got big problems, come around this altar. Would you stand with me?